Morality is suffering in our country a lot today. We used to be able to say about us that we are moral people, that we care about each other, that we care about what's right and what's wrong, and that there was a very fine line between what was right and what was wrong. And so you wouldn't see problems of modesty or mixed swimming or mixed dancing or anything of that nature, because we had this understanding that it was a problem. And that we understood that allowing that to go unchecked was a lot like allowing cancer to go unchecked. Sure. It's going to just destroy the spiritual body. And, you know, the idea of what would you do if someone asks you how to be modest is a big question in our world today. And I'm going to take this one first, if you don't mind, and talk about Genesis 3, because I think that's where the question starts. In Genesis 3, you've got the fall of mankind, when they partake of the fruit, and now they open their eyes and they realize that they're naked. It's the first time they ever thought that they weren't modest. Because up until that time, they hadn't changed anything about themselves. But they were modest because they didn't understand. Now, here's the thing that's interesting to me. They saw themselves completely naked, but they knew that that was immodest. But they didn't know how to get completely modest. And the reason I say that is you have in verse number 7, they saw that they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves, New King James says coverings, but really it's like a loincloth.
Right.
That's the idea behind the word there, is a loincloth, much like Tarzan would wear.
Right.
And God comes and delivers out their punishment and tells them what they're going to do, but there's an interesting thing here that is found, and some have called it the first sacrifice for sin, because God made tunics of skin and clothed them. I thought they were already clothed. You see, that's the thing that I've always thought was interesting. They thought they were clothed because they made their clothing, and so they thought they were sufficiently clothed. But God said to them in basically verse 21, it's not enough.
Right.
And when he says tunics of skin, it's really like a tunic.
Yeah.
You know, this idea of it covers from the shoulder all the way down past the knees, and it covered all parts of the body. There was no doubt that nothing could be seen. Here's my situation. I live in a world, and you do too, where we have women and men showing off parts of their body that God says are not proper to show off. We typically talk about the women. I'm going to first talk about the men. It is really odd to me that it's socially acceptable for a man to be shirtless on television and a woman not to be. Now, I understand we think of women as sexual beings. They're objects in some minds, sadly. And that's a problem. But God created the man to be aesthetically pleasing to the woman, too.
Right.
And God created both man and woman to please one another with both by the way they look and by the way they could be with each other as a married couple. We have a problem in our society with looking at men as, oh, that's no big deal. But if a woman shows it off, it's considered that's going to get it an R rating. That's going to be, you know, we got to be careful. We can only do this certain way. Both are a problem. But our problem today is that we have looked at men and acted as if there's not an issue with men.
Right.
And that has caused some preachers, and you mentioned this in a previous conversation, when we preach on this topic, we typically focus on the woman first. And a lot of times, sadly, we only focus on the woman. I think this is a two-way street. Number one, both Adam and Eve thought they were clothed and weren't. So it is possible that both male and female can think that they're sufficiently clothed and God will not be approving of it. Number two, it took someone to show them that they weren't clothed. Now, today, we talked about this previously. Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm a man. I'm a man that notices things about women, and I know other men that are just like that. Therefore, it is a difficult thing to go out into the world and to see the way some people dress. Winter is one of the best times of the year because they finally cover up, typically speaking. However, there's a new problem that's come about in the last few years with what we call leggings. And that's where you can wear something that covers the whole body, but it's so tight and form-fitting that nothing's really left to the imagination. And there's nothing, you don't have to worry about wondering because you can tell. And the sad thing is, I think we've done a disservice by preaching just cover up. That's not enough, because I know of people who are fully covered,
right,
that aren't modest. And the problem is twofold. Number one, does a man need to govern his body in a proper way before God? You better believe it. He must look upon a woman, if he's not married to her, as a sister in Christ or a potential sister in Christ.
Absolutely.
Treating her like he would treat his own sister. Therefore, she's not an object that's sexual to him. She's not an object that is, hey, what can I look at and lust after? She is an object of love, of Christianity. That's the only object that can be attached to her name. She's a part of God's kingdom, and you're a part of God's kingdom. So yes, a man needs to keep his eyes and his head on a swivel. But I think the ladies can do a long part of helping everyone out. And the men need to help each other out by not have googly eyes over the women when they see them. And the ladies need to understand that, yes, they can, not always, but they can be a source of temptation. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 8, when you have a man who is stumbling with the idea of meat offered to idols. What does Paul tell that man to do? Don't even let him see you buying it. And don't invite him over to your house to eat it.
Right.
Therefore, if we know that there are any men in the world that struggle with this because God created men in that regard to notice things about women in that way, then the women need to understand 1 Corinthians 8 doesn't just apply with meat offered to idols. It applies to anything that is a stumbling block to the man. The same for men to women. If there's a woman out there who lusts after a man with his shirt off, he needs to do exactly what the women would do and understand, hey, I can't do that. I've got to keep myself pure so that they can keep themselves pure. It's a two-way street.
Right.
We help them, they help us, we both help each other get to heaven. The problem is, today we need God to come back down and make tunics of skin. But what would you do if someone asked you how to be modest?
Well, I think that you'd need to define modesty to begin with. Modesty, and maybe typically we go to 1 Timothy 2, mm-hmm. and we see modesty being used in that passage, and maybe that's why we deal with the women and the modesty issue, and we spend time there, and we don't talk about the men. But I rightly agree that it's a problem. It's a two-way street.
Sure.
It's a problem in both directions, where and this world will fight that for some reason, but. Mm-hmm. Typically, we understand that the world's not the guide the Bible is. Interesting that the word that is translated as modest in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, in like manner also women adorn themselves in modest apparel, is the same word in chapter 3 of verse 2 when it talks about a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and of good behavior. It has to do with the behavior. And so the clothing is typically comes about from where a person is in their mind. What's your reasoning for putting on this skin tight clothing and going out in front in public? Is it so that people can see you? Somebody say, well, it's my workout clothes. Yeah, but are you going to the gym to work out in front of every other mm-hmm. person that's in there, and many of which will be guys, obviously. You're not going to a room full of girls. So it's typically guys that have to deal with that, and will be seeing that. So this comes from a place of where the heart is. Modesty has to do with a heart that wants to serve God, be of the right kind of person, the right kind of character. It begins there in the heart. Modesty becomes an issue when the heart's not right. And that then leads to the wrong type of clothing, the ill-fitting clothing or the shortened, and could go the other direction, could be boisterous and showy. Because in that same passage, he goes on to talk about with shamefacedness, with humility, in other words, and sobriety. That word's being used again, talking about of having a sound mind. And then, so not with braided hair, gold, pearls, costly. So trying to be showy. So a person could be showy with too much clothes as much as they could be showy literally with no clothes.
Right.
And so, and that could be guys or girls. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to understand. But modesty begins in the heart. And so it's a heart problem that has to be addressed when we talk about modesty. And so if it's a play, if the heart comes from a place that wants to be pleasing to God, they're not going to try to be pleasing to the world. And whatever that means, And so if they have to make changes on how they dress, they're going to do that. And that's something, too, we have to kind of remember here. You know, we're talking about this is written to the church. This is written to Timothy, this particular passage that he's going to be preaching to the church. But these letters are written to the church to encourage them in their faithful mm-hmm. service to God. The expectation that the world is going to fall in line, not until they have a reason to. Not until they know God and would, as Isaiah, bow down before and say, "Woe am I, you know, man of unclean lips," and have that approach before God. Not until they have that kind of heart are they going to submit by way of clothing or anything else. So.
Well, and funny enough, it just struck me while we were talking about this. We need to remember, and we've talked about this previously, you know, you've got 1 Corinthians 7, which talks about you're no longer yours when you're married.
Sure.
You are your other's. You know, your spouse is your body, and that's, you know, that's how that works. You are not just yours anymore. You're theirs.
Yeah.
That, to me, is interesting when you couple that with Genesis 39. We don't know Potiphar's wife's name, but it's possessive. Yeah. Potiphar's wife. Right. And the New King James says, my master's wife.
Right.
I find it interesting that Joseph said not just that it would be wicked for him to be with her, but this is the master's wife. This is Potiphar's wife.
Right.
She has no right to be with Joseph in that way. Therefore, the joke may be told, you know, someone might say, well, I like it when my wife dresses that way because it shows everybody what I get, what I have coming for me. Okay, but do you really want that to be said, that you're, you want your wife to be an object of people to fawn over and to just kind of just stare at and fantasize about being? That's not proper.
Right.
That's not appropriate. It's also not appropriate because she is no one else's.
Right.
Just like in Christianity, I am no one else's but God's. Therefore, I can't go out and be a part of a denomination.
Right.
I've got to be God's. If I'm a married man, I can't allow my body to be a stumbling block for someone else, because it's not a stumbling block for my wife. It's not lust when you're married.
Right.
Because you're allowed to have that. In the book of Song of Solomon, it talks about enjoying the idea of marriage and just drink until you're full, the idea of your marriage and the blessings that marriage brings. But that's only found with marriage. Therefore, it's not, you know, unclean for my wife and I to see each other in that regard. And sure, I've told certain people in sermons, you know, if you want to wear certain things around the house, that's fine. But they only better be around the house. Someone knocks on the door, you better say, give me a minute to get modest, because I've seen the graphic, and I'm sure you have too, the image of, you know, that it shows a undergarments talking to a bikini of a woman. And the undergarments hear the doorbell ring, and the bikini, the undergarment says, let me go put on some clothes. The bikini says, I'll get it. They're the same.
Right.
We just call them something different. It's undergarments nonetheless.
Right.
And that's a springboard to the next thing that we're going to talk about. We see it as socially acceptable today for people to go out into a bikini, but nobody would go out in their undergarments, typically speaking. You're not going to see that. But even some of the bikinis today have become so revealing to where it doesn't even cover any of the backside.
Right.
And so many of those are becoming so popular that nowadays it's even harder to consider going to a situation like the beach or anything like that, because you know that that's going to be there. But one of the things that so many people want to know about is mixed swimming with the opposite sex. You know, that's the idea of men and women swimming together. What would you do if someone asks you why it's wrong to swim with the opposite sex?
Well, I would say too, and coming from where on two occasions now I've had opportunities to work in a beach area,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you'd be surprised that a lot of brethren still come to the beach.
Sure.
And we had our opportunities and would go to the beach, and it was... we would do our very best. Of course, we'd try to go, and we figured out, being locals, when nobody was there.
Right.
And the locations where nobody would be.
Sure.
Because of this very problem, because of folks walking by in bikinis and
it's not that going to the beach is wrong in and of itself.
Right. And I understand some people take a hard stance on that, and if that's their, you know, they won't offend their conscience in that, then
sure.
By all means, don't.
Sure.
You know, to say that going to the beach is sinful is a hard stretch. You know, why would, you know, that be a problem? Well, it would be because of the immodesty, typically, that's going on there, the unclothed. You know, unfortunately, you know, we kind of had a joke, and it wasn't all that funny, but it was kind of a joke, you know, well, There sure is a lot of humanity out there, in the sense of you could see a lot of it if you went out there, you know, at the beach. And so we stayed away and tried to stay clear of all of that, you know, and that's certainly hard to do. You know, at other times I've been at, you know, Bible camps where we were at Florida Bible Camp. We would float down the Itchituckney. We would do so, you know, boys and girls. We would take a group down there and they would be together. You know, we'd scatter the adults in among the, you know, the rafts and stuff like that as well. But everybody was properly clothed in dark clothing and not in bathing suits, you know, but in dark clothing and modest, you know, in that way, you know, full t-shirts on and things like that. We would do that, and I think that made the difference. You still have to be careful because people might take advantage of that situation as well. But I think that you can see the definite difference, and what makes the difference is the immodesty that's taking place, and trying to steer clear from that. That's the problem with the mixed swimming that we face today. And our society says they see no problem with it whatsoever. And that's pretty typical of what is, you know, spring break in the mind of our society. It's going to Panama City, or it's going to some beach town, and not just living it up in a, you know, in an alcoholic stupor, but also, you know, being in the water, you know, and you know, with women and men undressed, basically, and, you know, handling each other the ways they shouldn't be doing.
Sure.
And that's the problem with it. That's what it typically would lead to.
And it's amazing. You have things that are not in and of themselves sinful can quickly become sinful because of what is in the environment. I'll give you an example, and I think it goes in this. You have 2 Samuel 11. David's just going out for a stroll onto his rooftop. You know, he goes out and he goes to the roof of his house and he's walking around, and from the roof he sees a woman bathing. Now this is not, she's at the beach and she's in a bikini. She is fully nude, bathing. And the indication gives that she was very beautiful to behold, and it's not talking about her face. It was that she was, more than likely, the whole body was pleasing to David to look upon. Well, that makes sense. That's what God did when he designed the female body. He designed it for the man to be able to take pleasure in it, but it was designed for it to be the husband to take pleasure in. But this is what is so interesting. I've heard commentators suggest, and perhaps they're right, that this was not the first stroll that David made on his rooftop, and it's not the first time that he saw Bathsheba from the rooftop. But let's say that it's not. Say that this is the first time he saw her. That, to me, shows how much comes about this, because then he goes home and he inquires about her. Hey, bring her to me. And then someone says, but isn't this Bathsheba? You know, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Mm-hmm. David says, I don't care. Bring her to me. And they commit fornication, all because he saw her in a situation that he shouldn't have seen her in. Now, I know the statement has been made, and you mentioned a joke that's not really necessarily funny, but it's a joke that's been made. You can put a girl in a trash bag and a guy will find a way to lust after her. You can put a girl in a, you know, in a burqa or in some type of, you know, non-sexually, you know, minded clothing, but some guy will find a way to make it sexual. That's his problem.
Yeah.
And it's given some of the women, though, an excuse to say, therefore, I don't have to try. That's not true.
That's all on the guy.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8. Paul said, if you have a brother that can't eat meat, don't let him see you buying it. Therefore, if I have a brother that it's a stumbling block for him, you know, it's a scruple for him, he says, I cannot go out into this world and look upon the women at church that are wearing low-cut shirts or high-cut skirts or whatever you want to say, however you want to say it, and not have a difficulty with lust, then our ladies need to take a Christian stand and say, you know what, I won't be a stumbling block for him. Because we're told about the watchman. That applies to this situation too.
Sure.
The watchman is one that, if he doesn't warn the wicked and doesn't help spare the wicked soul from death and destruction, the blood's on their hands. Well, if I am the stumbling block, not only did someone sin, but I caused them to sin. And I've been told directly in 1 Corinthians 8 not to do that.
Right.
I've been told I cannot do that. Mixed swimming is a problem when it's done immodestly, because mankind has not proven, both male and female, that we can look upon each other in that way and it not be a problem for everyone.
Yeah, and I would say, as a response to that, that you know, for some, they're going to look at that and say, there's no situation where men and women need to be together in the water. And,
sure.
And I'll say, you need to, then that's how you need to live your life. You need to make that decision, you know, and that's how you're going to live. And so, and that would be their scruple in that way. That's how far they want to take mm-hmm. that. Okay, by all means.
Oh, yeah.
But I need to then be considerate of that individual as well. You know, who takes that position.
Yes.
And be thoughtful of that, especially in the Lord's church, in that environment of the Lord's church. I need to be thoughtful of my brother or sister in that way.
And we need to take care more for people if we have a slip and slide at a church gathering at someone's house, and we say, wear dark clothing, shorts that go beyond the knee, and wear dark t-shirts, and we give them that warning. Someone shows up in a bikini, we need to be watchmen for everyone's souls there, not just because of the men, but also because of the little girls that are there that are watching that individual, whether it's mama or whether it's sister so-and-so in church. They're going to grow up, if no one does anything about that and they let her just have fun, they're going to grow up believing that that's okay. I've seen another picture, and I'll move on to the last question I've got for you, but there's just so much to unpack with this. But I saw another picture of a little girl with her mom, and she's wearing really short shorts as a little two-year-old, and she's kind of shaking her body around, and her mom says, oh, look at how cute she is popping her booty like that. And then it shows her doing other things throughout life, and then it shows her as a teenager, and she's depicted in that as a pregnant girl that's addicted to things that aren't good, and the mother goes, what has happened to you? Well, according to the comic book strip, the mother's what happened. Because the mother never took a hard stance and taught. Now, I'm not saying that a two-year-old shouldn't dress in you know, princess clothing or anything like that, because one day they'll grow up and think they need to be a princess. That's not my point here. But when you teach your children from 2 years old and up that that's okay, and at 10 years old you still buy those shorts, and at 15 years old you're still buying those, why then are we so surprised when at 18 we have situations where we're so shocked at what our children are wearing?
Right.
We have to take that stance at home. We have to take a modesty stance, no matter what it is, and say, okay, you're going to a slip and slide. You're going to be modest. Well, so-and-so's going to... I don't care who so-and-so is.
Right.
You are going to be modest. You can control you. I can control you. That's how this works. And I'll close out this last question, and I'm going to throw it to you, but this goes in line. This is even... You're not talking about people who are even necessarily immodestly clothed, but you have Galatians 5:19 talking about lasciviousness or lewdness. Now, that literally means unchaste handling of males and females. So when I'm asked, what would you do if someone asks why dancing is wrong? Here's my 3-point stance on it. Number one, you don't want to put your hand on a stove that's hot. It doesn't benefit you. It only takes one time to burn your hand before you realize you made a mistake. And when you're talking about being with someone that's not your wife, and you're up against her body, she's up against yours, and you're moving in ways that can be perceived as sexual, even if they're not intended to be, they can come across as sexual, that's a very bad temptation to put yourself with. Number two, you don't want to put yourself in any situation where you are a negative influence to other people. And as a Christian in the Lord's church, you don't want to be the victim of some pregnancy scandal. You don't want to be the victim of someone who, you know, gets a disease because maybe this person that you're with has that and you didn't know it, and all of a sudden you've got to live the rest of your life now with this because you decided to dance and it went too far. Number three, dancing. The way that we're talking about. I'm not talking about the chicken dance. I'm not talking about, you know, you put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself about. I'm talking about grinding upon one another with your body.
Right.
I've never seen a situation where that doesn't lead to trouble. And even if you say, well, I've trained myself not to think of that in a sexual way, then boy, you're going to have a hard time when you and your wife are trying to enjoy marriage and you've trained your body not to react to it like your body is expected to react to it. Our bodies are expected to react to certain things. You touch right. something that's hot, ow, that's hot. You deal with something that causes arousal, it's supposed to cause arousal, but in the right context, in the right setting. That's why God created marriage.
Right.
God said, you know what? I know human beings are going to have this desire. I know they're going to want to do these things. I'm going to make it right. Paul says, as far as saying, I think it's better that a woman and a man don't marry, that a man doesn't touch a woman. But I understand because you burn in your lust that it might be needed to do it. Get married then.
Right.
Don't. And this idea of going to the club and dancing with people on a nightly basis and going home with people that you don't know, That's a problem.
It is.
Now, what would you do if someone asks you why dancing is wrong?
You know, I would, to begin with, I want to ask them, you know, what is dancing to you?
Right.
When you're talking about dancing, what is it? You know, you mentioned the chicken dance, you know, a square dance,
mm-hmm.
you know, something. I mean, I don't know if anybody still does that, but
you
sure. know, things like that, you know, little children dancing around, you know, and stuff like that. That's a different mindset. And you've clearly outlined, you know, we're talking about, you know, male and female not married who are, you know, basically on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody has likened it sex with clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
And even very recently I saw in some type of, I don't know if it was a show or what it was, and I heard that statement, you know, but that was what they were talking about. You know, this was as good as sex.
Yeah.
And they were just dancing.
Yeah. One show even said, it's where you do all the lying down stuff standing up.
Yeah, that's the idea.
And that's the idea.
And this is that's obviously the problem, you know. And you well define what lewdness or lasciviousness is, you know, that unchaste handling, unpure handling. That has no place, you know, in there. And so that's certainly why dancing is wrong and sinful as such. You know, these movements, they're salacious, they're lascivious, and so therefore they would be sinful as such, you know, that rubbing and so on, you know, that causes that arousing that's not supposed to be except between a husband and his wife. And so you're absolutely right. But I would make them talk about, you know, what is this? Years ago, we were teaching some young, I think I had a young boys class or something like that, and maybe Bible camp or something. We were talking about this question had come up, you know, what about dancing? What about dancing? I said, well, here's a scenario. Let's everybody stand up, and so grab your, you know, grab the guy next to you,
mm-hmm.
and let's learn a couple dance moves together. We're like, no, I wouldn't do that, you know. I said, why wouldn't you? Because immediately in your mind, you realize that that's something that you know should do with a girl. But you say, no, I wouldn't do it with them. Well, why not? Because of the sexual problem that it brings about. They get it from from one standpoint, and so it didn't take them long to realize, you know, well, that's the same problem.
Yeah.
If I'm standing there with a girl and we're standing that close and we're holding each other in that way, and so that's problematic. That's why it is, in fact, sinful.
I've even taken it as far as saying to some of the women that have said, well, I like dancing. Okay, dance with me like that. No, I'm not going to do that. But why not?
Yeah.
Because like you said, with the men, with men, you understand there is this sexual aspect to it.
Right.
And I think even for that, we need to be careful with what this new craze throughout the several years at weddings with daddy-daughter dances. They're not sexual in nature, but it gives a wrong impression to people that you believe dancing is okay.
Sure.
And I am not to be a stumbling block to anybody. You and I are not to be stumbling blocks to
right.
anybody. We've got to be careful because these types of things, even if they're not done with a sexual intent or they're done with a malicious intent, they can definitely be misconstrued by people to say, oh, they approve of dancing in all forms and shapes. And that's a problem that we have in our world today. Morality is lacking.
Yeah.
And we've got to get it back.
No
we've
doubt.
Got to bring it back to the world, no question.